We are pleased that you're here for this session, and we hope at the end of our presentation to leave time so that you can ask any questions. I will apologize in advance. I will have to leave when we're done to go to the Governing Council. So we, again, appreciate your attendance. As you may know, this has really been a changing time in accreditation of health education professional preparation programs. In the public health education front, CEEF, Council for Education and Public Health, is now in the process, in the early stages of accrediting freestanding undergraduate programs in public health education and in other public health areas also. So that's new. But what we're focusing on is school health education today. And both Elaine and I have been part of a task force that was actually three task forces that were first formed. The first one was formed in 2001, and that went from 2001 to 2003. And the second one was formed in 2004, went to 2006, and then from 2007 is the third task force. And unless those names are in front of me, I can't remember all. We've just always referred to them as the accreditation task forces. And so we've been working over a long period of time to improve the coordination and also, whenever possible, the quality of the accreditation process in health education. So with that in mind, we have no relationships to disclose. That seems kind of a strange thing to say up here, so we have written our objectives in what we intend to do, and so you can see that we want to talk about, explain the changes that have occurred, the options and timelines, and the impact of the changes on the field. So remember, we're focusing on teacher education in health education, in other words, professional preparation in school health education. So. The current focus on in accreditation, the emphasis is on understanding and assessing the impact of teacher education on student learning and development. And this emphasis has resulted in new standards that address how programs select, prepare, and measure the success of graduates. And the shift is from process to outcomes and performance. So it's not just what you do, it's the product of what you do. And so NCATE, which has been the traditional accreditor of teacher education programs, part of this changing time has been that the two more traditional, or two at least most recently prominent accreditors of school health education, NCATE and TEAC, and NCATE is the National Commission on Accreditation and Teacher Education, thank you, and TEAC is Teacher Education Council, Teacher Education Accreditation Council, and these two organizations have unified and formed a new organization, CAPE, which is the Council for Accreditation in Educator Preparation, and in this transition period, and we'll be showing this in more detail, programs can go can still go through the NCATE process, can still go through the TEAC process, but then also there's a new CAPE options, and we'll be presenting those to you. And there, what you see on the screen now are the NCATE requirements, and you also see that NCATE has formal relationships with professional associations to serve as specialized professional associations, SPAs. And this is going to be a real important piece of what we're presenting to you. And SPAs establish the professional standards for the disciplines that they represent. AAHE, the American Association for Health Education, was formerly the SPA for school health education. And if you're familiar with this, AAHE existed until 2013, until the spring of 2013. And then AAHE was part of a larger organization, American Alliance for Health, Physical Education, and Recreation, AFERD. AFERD restructured, during the restructuring, AAHI was terminated, and AFIRD right now, since that was the umbrella organization over AAHI, AFIRD is the SPA for health education. And again, we'll talk more about that. You can see in 2013, 56 colleges and universities had nationally recognized school health education professional preparation programs. There's the NK and TAC, as I mentioned. All right. You can see the TAC process here. It's a little bit different than NCATE. The accredited programs that show evidence that they prepare competent, caring, and qualified professional educators, and they demonstrate capacity to monitor and improve the quality. And they require an educator preparation program, EPP, to demonstrate meeting three quality principles. And there you see those three quality principles. Now, I think it's important also to recognize that NCATE was an accreditor of many more programs than TAC. TAC was actually an emerging program in this century, since the early 2000s, and did not have the presence and the number of relationships with universities that NCATE did. So, in 2010, NCATE and TAC unified to form the Council for Accreditation of Educator Preparation, CAPE. And as of July of 2013, CAPE became the sole specialized accreditor. And in August of 2013, the new CAPE Board of Directors approved new accreditation standards. And there you see a CAPE statement describing sort of where accreditation in teacher education and school health education is at this point in time. All right, so with CAPE, with just CAPE, they have three pathways for accreditation. And the three pathways include what is a fairly standard part of accreditation in many fields, a self-study, a site visit, and then the peer review process. So a university, a program going through one of the three, going through the CAPE process, can choose one of those three pathways. However, until the spring of 2016, there are other options. So, if a program is in the process of having their accreditation visit during this January 2014 to spring of 2016 period, they have three options. Number one, they can go through the NCATE standards or the TAC quality principles only, called legacy visits. They can do the NCATE standards or the TAC quality principles and CAPE's new standards, called dual accreditation, or also called a choice that means a lot of work, and C, CAPE's new standards only. And these are called CAPE pilots because, of course, this is the first time through the CAPE process. Now, there are also state regulations related to accreditation, and this is really kind of difficult to get a handle on because it varies among different states, and it changes over time. But some states have only a state approval process, while others have a state approval process and a partnership agreement with a national accreditor. And so what's happening now with these changes is that CAPE is negotiating with state departments of education, state boards of education, for new agreements. Now, the AAHI requirements and standards, and this is really a real important piece of this, because I mentioned earlier that that AAHI no longer exists, but AAHI had a very rigorous accrediting process, And so what we're, as a task force, what we're doing, and also the Society for Public Health Education has a school health work group, we're monitoring how the new AFERD, and the new AFERD, anybody know the name of the new AFERD?
Shape.
So we're monitoring how SHAPE, which is now primarily a physical education organization, how they will be moving forward to continue their responsibilities as a specialized professional organization or a SPA. However, that rigorous process that AHI had, you can see that the AHI standards were based on HEJA 2010, which of course formed the basis for what we often refer to as the NCHEC competencies and subcompetencies. And you can see that this has now been assumed by SHAPE. All right, so one of the rigorous requirements that AHI had was for the reviewers. And so you can see in order to be a reviewer, you had to meet one of those three requirements. And we're not sure right now what SHAPE is doing as far as how they're moving forward with their reviewer requirements. And then these were the AHI and KATE standards, and if you look, you will notice that these closely reflect and were developed based on the seven areas of responsibility. They're not exactly the same, but they're fairly close. Okay, so Elaine is going to pick up and talk about Sophie's role in quality assurance and professional development and practice.
Thanks, Dave. Mm-hmm. So, good afternoon, everybody. What Dave didn't tell you was that Dave has been an AHI president along the way, too, so we really appreciate the perspective he brings now to the changes that are happening in school health education accreditation because he was so involved with the prior process. So, as Dave kind of started off by alluding to, we have been involved, both Sophie and AHI, when AHI was in existence, had been very committed to assuring quality in health education, not only at the accreditation level, the professional preparation level, you know, what is happening, whether it's on the school health side or the community health education side, and he alluded to what's happened with CEEF now in public health and community health education, but also on the individual practice side. So what happens to us as health education specialists, our certification process, in some states there is licensure, and then in some states there is registration as well. So this task force, or series of task forces, was really charged over the years in monitoring that and getting in, commenting, identifying areas to improve the field. So where have we gone since then? And over that time, we've used the competencies, as Dave mentioned, first from the Competency Update Project, the Health Education Job Analysis, and now we've just completed the Health Education Specialist Job Analysis. So in our field, every 5 years, we go through a very intensive survey, and I'm sure some of you may have participated in that, which occurred last year. Or I guess it was completed earlier this year, and we will be releasing those new competencies and subcompetencies for the entry level, the advanced level, and advanced two level in 2015 in the framework, and maybe some of you attended a session on that during this meeting. So we've had a long history, Sophie, as an organization, have had a long history of having a section, our community of practice, involving school health members and leaders. And we realized that in 2013 or 2011-12, when we understood that AHI was going to be sunset, we started negotiating with AFERD to see how we could be an asset and collaborator in quality assurance. And needless to say, AFERD decided to go in a different direction and not collaborate with us. And so we had to take a step back and decided then in 2014 we would see organizationally as Sophie, since we don't own that SPA, what could we contribute to quality assurance in school health education? And we formed the school health working group with school health experts. What have we done to date? Well, we've had ongoing discussions with NKTF and CAPE, as you've heard Dave refer to all of those and some of the changes that are going on. We've been in touch with the leaders there and letting them know where health education is in this process. We've published some journal articles, and one of which I will commend to you at the end of the program that you might want to read. We've done webinars and presentations at annual meetings such as this, ASHA, and other places. We've been charged with ongoing tracking of the evolution of this accreditation system and what is happening in school health and where can we provide some insight and some expertise. And then we have a process where we are issuing to department chairs and faculty updates about 3 to 4 times a year so that they know what's going on in the field as well. We also have come to, at this point, in drafting some school health accreditation principles, which we feel are important to put out to the field. And many of these came from, some of the prior task force work that we've actually done. Okay, it doesn't like that. What we've actually done in prior discussions with the field, and that is, again, verifying that health education is a single profession with common roles and responsibilities, no matter whether you're working in schools or communities. School health and physical education are separate and unique disciplines. We can't use the same standards or criteria for school health and phys ed programs because we recognize their distinct disciplines and processes. Those assigned to teach health education in schools should be professionally prepared in health education. Teacher education and health education incorporates the knowledge and skills that form a foundation that's common to all health education specialists and those competencies specific to pre-K to 12. We recognize now that CAPE is the national body for quality assurance in school health education and working with the states. The health education profession, that is all of us that work in health education, are responsible for assuring the quality and professional prep and practice, including health education in schools, and that SOPI now remains the only independent organization representing health education specialists in all settings. So what does that mean for implications for you in the, you know, where we are in this transition time? And we want to commend to you a couple different things. First, if you're in faculty, which I think many of you are here, we want you to encourage you to monitor what's happening. Find out what's happening in your state. Are they going the route of NCATE? Are they going as the three processes that Dave outlined that exist, three options? Educate your faculty and your deans and your administrators about the changes that are happening. Assess your curricula and begin planning now to support the new changes that you're going to need to make to move to that more accountability mechanism and the new accreditation emphasis. If you're a practitioner, somebody that teaches in schools or works at the local level, you need to advocate for strong, qualified program reviewers and advocate for evidence-based standards that are developed with the profession-wide input and the latest health education competencies that are emerging in 2015. And if you're a student and you're interested in school health education programs, you need to ask information about that school, that prospective program's accreditation status, assess what the health education standards are guiding the curriculum or undergirding that curriculum, and then advocate. You need to advocate for professionally prepared school health educators. We've been very involved in advocating for strong school health standards through the meetings with the Departments of Education and CDC, meetings with the Office of Management and Budget at the federal level. We've been advocating for strong for qualified teachers to be hired in K through 12 and health education programs in the schools by various bills that are in Congress. We held a congressional briefing this past summer with ASCD on the new whole child curriculum and educating members up on the Hill what that's about. We've offered leadership for the Student Health Advocacy Coalition, which is a group of us of education and health groups in Washington that are now resurrecting the helping to resurrect the School Health Caucus on Capitol Hill. And we work with the Coalition of National Health Education Organizations for strong support for school health programs. And so in summary, changes in the teacher education and national professional organizations, as well as the philosophies of what's happening in accreditation, are impacting our field. And we must be sure that our school health educators have the best skills and competencies they need in the 21st century classroom. What we can do is monitor this evolving accreditation process. We don't control it. We can inquire how our institutions are meeting these latest school health education requirements, adapt our quality assurance processes for both the pre-service school health educators and the curricula, and then advocate for strong quality assurance standards in your states for school health educator professional preparation programs. I'd like to invite you to our 2015 annual meeting in Portland that Larry mentioned, where we'll have more discussions about this. And then this is the article I would commend to you that was published just in August that gives a really good summary if you want to take something back to your colleagues to let them know about the changes that are happening in school health accreditation. And Dave and I'd be pleased to entertain any questions or thoughts you may have on this process.
Quick question before Dave has to leave? Well, you may think about it as you. Thank you.
Yes,
I could ask a question. I'm not up to date on all this with helpful and useful information, but can you talk a little bit about the implications for this? There are obviously different ways this can go, and what are the implications for not just for the field, you know, the field of health ed, but what gets delivered in the school? Is that looking too far ahead, too much of a crystal ball, or?
Go ahead.
No, I think it's, it always has implications for how health education is delivered in schools. And I think that certainly one of the things that we want to maintain and even reinforce is the distinction between health education and physical education. We have that in the accreditation process now, but we don't necessarily have that in practice in local schools. So we don't want to in any way at all backtrack on that. But we also think that if we, I think the other implication of this is the fact that we need to move forward and let decision makers, let parents, let other stakeholders know that indeed there is a distinction between health education and physical education, and that kids need to have quality health education, not only from just a health perspective, but also from an education perspective, with the idea that healthy kids are going to be more successful academically. And so I think all of that sort of is in the mix. I really think that we've had the accreditation standards in place. We need to maintain those and maybe improve them, but we need to at the same time go along and making sure that it does make a difference at the local level.
Right, and I would say that what I think we often hear is that schools are replacing our health education teachers with those that are teaching other subjects and may not have that specialized knowledge and skill. And we know that to provide the best programs in health education, informed decision making, and being health literate adults. It's so important to rely on the professional preparation that we have so in school health education, and therefore what we have to do is shore up that system. And this is one way we're trying to, you know, as a national organization, trying to make sure that happens by educating those in Congress as well as having input into these accreditation processes and trying to work across the profession and, you know, bring the latest competencies, making sure the school health educators are trained based on those latest competencies that we know are needed in the classroom.
And I would add one piece to that. The one thing that every single one of us have in common is we all live in a community, and all communities have school boards. And what happens at the national level, really what even happens at the state level, doesn't mean anything if the local school administrators and local school board does not buy into it. And so as community members, we need to be involved in that advocacy.
Thank you.
Elaine, David, thank you.
Thank you.